Going. So this, I believe, is lesson number 13. I lost track. 5 weeks ago was the week before the conference in which I did not speak that weekend. Then the next week was the conference. Then the following week I spoke on a subject other than the manifestations. And then last week I delayed or refrained from speaking because I had too much here that I was not comfortable with. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and do this lesson, and it will dovetail into, I believe, what I have to say, mainly because it's dealing with the temple and the holy place. If you order prayer, and we'll get going here. Heavenly Father, we're always grateful to you for the opportunity to open your book and to look into your words. We ask your blessing upon the words that they might be pleasing, and that the Holy Spirit would have a free course in our lives to understand things that we need personally and we will use daily. And we ask for those things that you show us, even in lessons that may not even appear to be so. But we thank you for this. Thank you for your goodness and your grace to have in Christ. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. So, let's turn to, I've been stuck on Matthew 24:15, and it's just one verse that says an awful lot, and an awful lot if you're going to really study this thing. But 24:15, we read, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." So we kind of looked at a few areas in the book of Daniel, which this is obviously spoken about. And you'll notice that he says, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So there's an issue here about understanding. And when you read the book of Daniel, you'll find in more than one place the Lord told Daniel, after he had a vision, and he had a lot of questions that weren't answered, the Lord said, "Seal up the book. It's for a later time. And so I can tell you right now that there's things in that book that we will never know probably in our lifetime, because it's sealed up and it will not be expressed until a later time. But what I notice here is that in this particular verse, that notice that this abomination of desolation, some idolatry type of astonishment, we might call it abomination, when it stands or is placed in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So when we read this verse, and we'll also look at the three or four occasions in Daniel, that we see that there is in each case it speaks of the holy place, and we want to know what the holy place is. Because generally we say, well, this is talking about a temple. There has to be a temple built before these things could take place. And the more I look at this and study these words, and this is what I had trouble with last many words to look at and hundreds of verses, which I did not look at all, but I believe let me make the statement up front, and this is what we'll be looking at today. I think last week when Ronnie spoke and I came on and said that I was not going to speak that day, I threw out a comment about when is the temple not the temple? And so that's kind of important, because when you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, he speaks about this same event here happening in the temple. But the word temple there is the word naos, not naos in the Greek, which is really means the holy place. It doesn't mean the temple itself, but the holy place. And it's the holy place also was occupied, or it was first. So I'm questioning whether or not there will be a temple, and wondering if there's going to be a tabernacle. And let me just read one verse to tickle your ears, and that would be in Acts 15. And I don't know if we're going to get through all of this today, but if we read Acts 15 without reading a lot of the context, you know that there was this council meeting, so to speak, with the disciples, and Paul and Barnabas were there, and there were many Judaizers who wanted who believed that the Gentiles should be have to go through the same things they did according to the law. And so there was a dispute over that. And so then, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, it's his, James' turn, he's going to sum it all up for everybody. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, that's Peter, how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So he refers back to Acts chapter 10, and you know the story of Cornelius, and those Gentiles, they were uncircumcised, let me put it that way, they weren't proselytes, they were uncircumcised, and they came to know the Lord. Salvation was offered to them. And not only that, they spoke in tongues after that. And so he says, Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. So he didn't say, and these things are being fulfilled right now in front of your eyes. But he says, here's an example of something that the prophets spoke about. And here's a passage. He says prophets, plural. And he's going to give us a passage out of Amos. And so this agrees with what is going on. The fact that the Gentiles were going to be part of the purposes of God at some point in time through the nation of Israel, he says this agrees with this particular passage. Verse 16, after this I will return and will begin again and will build again the temple of Solomon. Now, does it sound? I will return again and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. The residue are the remnant of men, which is including not all Gentiles, but the remnant of the Gentiles. So these things were beginning to happen right there in the book of Acts. And yet he says he will, but he doesn't say these are being fulfilled. He says this just agrees with a lot of what the prophets have to say about the Gentiles. But he says, notice what he says though. He says it build again the tabernacle of David. Now, we can look at that as it generally is, as you can either look at it literally, or as it generally is taken, it is a figure of speech and represents more than just a tabernacle. So this caught my attention between this verse and Acts in Matthew 24 that he spoke of the holy place, that he didn't say a word about the temple. And so we need to look at words that have to do with the holy place, the holy of holies, the temple itself. The temple was made up of several things. There were buildings and there were chambers in the temple. There were abodes. You know, the Lord made a comment about, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I've heard that one used at funerals before, and that's what we're going to look forward to as a mansion. Well, this was something in the temple, and it was an abode for a priest who did the work of the priesthood. And it was on the outer portion. It was not in the Holy of Holies, but it was in the outer portion. So we need to look at those words, look at the word temple itself. And we're going to see that the first time the word temple is used, there was no temple. There had never been a temple built. It was before Solomon's time. And we will also read about the fact that there was a tabernacle that David set up. He went out and took a bunch of people with him and destroyed most Philistines who had possession of the Ark of the Covenant. No Ark of the Covenant, no temple, no holy place. I mean, it's incomplete. And so he goes out and they bring the Ark of the Covenant back in his lifetime, and then he's got a nice house that he's in, and it comes to his mind that, hey, here I'm sitting in this nice place, and God has just a little tabernacle out here, a little tent that I set up, so to speak, and that it is, and he's he dwells between the curtains, he calls it there. So you'd have to go back and read that in Samuel. But and that's when the Lord began to deal with him and talk to him about a house being made. And he tells him he's not going to be able to build that temple, but his son Solomon was. So these are some of the things that Ronnie went through last week concerning that temple. So when we think of the temple, generally we would think of Solomon's temple. And then here in Matthew 24, we're talking about a temple that had been destroyed. Solomon's temple had been destroyed. And I'm going to back up a few verses, and we've kind of looked at passages of course. Let's look back in Matthew 20. So I'll start in 23, and we'll read through a couple of verses in 24. Verse 33, he's talking to the Pharisees. He calls them the Pharisees and scribes calls them hypocrites and so forth. In this whole passage, he gives them the many woes, W-O-E, the woes that was going to happen to them. So now he calls them, verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar, the naos. So here is a Greek word that has to do with the Holy of Holies. So, I mean, think about this. They slew him right there in the holy place. So the naos includes the Holy of Holies, and it also includes the holy place that only the priests were to have access to. And that is the only thing. So here the word temple here has to do with that particular word. Verse 36, saying to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killeth the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered her, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house, that is what they thought of as the temple, is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall be henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So this is the subject leading us into chapter 24, because look at the next few verses. And Jesus went out and departed from the, not the naos, but from the Hieron. This is the entire temple. This is a makeup of all of the temple. So obviously he was not allowed in the Holy of Holies or the holy place itself. He was there in the outer portion of the temple, and that's the word that's used here. This is the very context of what we're going to read in Matthew 24. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple, the Hieron. So this is all of the temple. Now, I'm going to read what Luke has to say, if I can find it here. Luke 21, verse 5. And forgive me if I'm repeating some things that we looked at before. But I think it's necessary since it's been so long, and plus all of these things go together. So Luke 21, very similar passage of scripture, and it wasn't his disciples, I don't believe, that made this statement, but it was those who were there when he was speaking. Sometimes he spoke to his disciples, and he spoke out loud so that others could hear it. So in 21, verse 5, in Luke, we read, and as some spake of the temple, how it was goodly stones and gifts, he said, and then he goes on and he speaks about not one stone left upon another. So here this gives us a little bit better idea. If this is the same occurrence as we read in 24, they were talking about how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. Well, was this Solomon's temple? Absolutely not. Solomon's temple was completely destroyed. This was a temple that Herod, the Roman emperor at that time, had built and had, and he overdid it. And he was, this was in the works for like 46 years when the Lord had said this. I'll read a verse over in John real quick, chapter 2. And notice that both words are used here. In John, let's read 14. Let's start in verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now here's the word Herion, which is the outer buildings of the temple and the temple in general. And let's drop down a few verses here. Let's look at 19. Let's see what they said to him. Verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou in seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this naos, the holy of holies, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years naos in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? So that temple that we look at there was Herod's temple. And I don't know if it was by the exact plan of Solomon's temple or not, but he overdid it with some of the beauty of it and whatever. And I think this was one of the problems we read here in Matthew. There was something about the temple that was materialistic and not spiritual in these people's minds. And the Lord says that temple is going to be destroyed and not one stone is going to be left upon another. So I detect in the words of the Lord that this was not an acceptable temple, although they were worshiping there, and the Lord himself came there and worshiped. So having said that, this is the context in which this verse of the Lord is written about his coming. And so verse 15, when you therefore, this is back in Matthew 24, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So there's a lot there that needs to be understood for these people to understand this time. So the question is, the Lord does not specifically say, now here, the word for holy place here is hos, and the word place is tapas. So this is not what we generally look at when we speak of the Holy of Holies. So what we need to do is take a look at some of the words that we're dealing with real quickly and understand them. So if we turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1-3, it gives us kind of a clear picture of that original temple, actually the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. So the very same things that are said concerning the temple about the holy place are said and were said about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was always the picture, and that was the picture that Solomon used when he built the temple. And we know that that temple, or that picture, was heavenly. The pattern of that temple was from the heavens, from above. And so in chapter 9, and let's read the first 3 verses. Then verily the first covenant, the first testament, what we call the Old Testament, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And here the sanctuary is the word hagios, the holies. So the first portion that you went into, he says, there was a candlestick, a table. It's called the sanctuary. That's the English word. It's called hagios. And after the second veil, which is called the holiest of all. Here, that's the English translation, but it's the exact same word he used in chapter 2. Verse 2. So it's the hagios again. But we know from Exodus that, and we know from the Septuagint version of Exodus, when the tabernacle was built, that this word here, even though it doesn't say the holiest of all, or it doesn't say the holy of holies, can interpret that because of what we find in the book of Exodus. So let's turn back to Exodus 26. So once again, I'll try to keep your mind thinking about the fact that is there a temple that we're dealing with in Matthew or and in Acts, or is this a tabernacle? They're literally going to be reared up. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 33 and 34. And thou shalt hang up the veil. So this is instructions for the tabernacle. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tocks, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy and the most holy. And essentially in the Hebrew, it's basically given us the same two words. But in the Septuagint, it says in the holies and the holy, the holies, or the holies of the holies. So there is a division, even though he's using the same words. It would go along with what we read in Hebrews, which spoke about this. The fact that in the first section that they went into of the naos, there was the holies, and in the, and that was where the Levites that were allowed, the priests were allowed when they did those particular functions. And then the inner section, which was the Holy of Holies, only the high priest went in once a year. So there's much that can be said about this, and we could go through and look at the beauty of what's being stated here. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Here is a verse that most people look forward to in the future. Most Christianity looks forward to in Christianity. And it speaks about this same event that we're talking about in Matthew 24. In chapter 2, I'm going to, let's start at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the, well, I better start in verse, let's start in verse 1, because we need to see what chapter, verse 3 and 4 are talking about. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, the parousia, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter, or shall we say a forged letter. Someone had forged him, forged Paul's name on, as that the day of, not Christ, but the day of the Lord is at hand. There's a big difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is what was promised, and the day of the Lord is associated with tribulation and many other things. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Notice there has to be a time of apostasy. There has to be a falling away time. We're often taught that the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when you do that, then the coming of the Lord. But here it talks about the falling away first, and he's referring to Israel. And we have much scripture that will tell us about that in the Old Testament. Let no man deceive you by any means, that they shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sitteth in the temple, the naos of God, showing himself that he is God. So Paul, who speaks very little about the day of the Lord and the things that were actually, I'm making that statement. He does so in Thessalonians, and occasionally in other places, but very little, not as much as the Lord himself spoke of. But he says that this one, there's going to be this beast that's going to appear, and he's going to set something up in the Holy of Holies, showing himself that he is God. So he doesn't use the word temple, he uses the word naos, in the Holy of Holies. Well, that's what we're going to find in the book of Daniel. All of the three or four places that speak of the abomination of desolation is going to use the word, the Hebrew word, and also the Greek word in the Septuagint. It will have to do with the Holy of Holies. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 8. By the way, before we go there, let me read a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2. We can't forget this. It's a sideline. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about directly. But it does talk about and use the word temple. And we read in 2:19. Now therefore, speaking of the church which is his body, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, or in the holies, of the holies, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple. Naos. Holy, the holy place, in the Lord. So this is not a physical temple. This is the holy of holies. This is the is what we are being built into, in whom you also are building together for the habitation of God through or in spirit. So this is a spiritual temple, and it is the inner portion. It's not, it is a word that a Gentile would understand, because Gentiles had temples also. We find that in Acts when, in the book of Acts when Paul is at Ephesus, and it speaks about, the goddess of Ephesus and so forth, and there was a temple there. So this is a word that a Gentile, which this book was written to, would understand in a, perhaps a different sense. But Paul makes it clear, this is a spiritual temple. So, let's go back to Daniel chapter 11. We're going to look quickly at the different occasions that the Lord referred to when he spoke about the abomination of desolation. And we'll notice where that one will be, that is spoken of, will place the abomination of desolation, the idol. In chapter 8, we read this, 8:11 and 13. Yea, so he's speaking about one, this little horn that has come up in this vision that he sees in verse 9. And he's waxed great in verse 10, the hosts of heaven, he cast down some of the hosts of the stars in the ground. So he's a very powerful person. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now in the Hebrew you're going to see two words. One word comes from the other. One has the same root. They both have the same root. Kadosh and Mikdash. And those mean we're going to read back in, what we read back in Exodus was the holy of the holies. The holy place and the holy of the holies. So this is where he's going to do his work. This is where the abomination is going to occur. It's going to be in the sanctuary. Read on a couple more verses. And the host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth of the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression, transgression of desolation. So it's called a transgression instead of the abomination of desolation. But it appears to be the same thing, because it is the same. It's just the adjective that's used to describe the desolation. To give both the sanctuary, once again, same word, holy of holies, and the most to be trodden underfoot. So nothing here about a temple. He just describes the holy of holies. Go to chapter 9. 26 and 27. We know this is in the midst of the 70 weeks that were determined, divided up amongst the people or Israel. It speaks of a future time. And by the way, in chapter 8, let me read the additional verse here. He asked the question, he heard one saint or one angel speaking to another, and they asked the question, how long and so forth. This is all that's going to happen. In verse 14, he answers that. He said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. The Holy of Holies shall be cleansed. So he's talking about 3.5 years. I only read that because it occurs several times in the book of Daniel. Okay, in chapter 9, we read, and this requires a lot of our attention because the words I'm going to read here in the English are far from what are actually spoken. Know ye therefore, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall divide it off, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations. And that word overspreading of abominations, I have written here, means in the place of the daily sacrifice he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out, poured upon the desolate. So it speaks of a desolator here, and it speaks of that one that we just read of in Acts chapter 8. Quickly look at 11:31. Chapter 11, for me, is almost off base. If you read that one, you'll never understand it. You know that this is sealed up for a future time. There are some hints there, though, in terms of whether you have attention, but that's not the scope of what we're doing here. Verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. In all these cases, he speaks about the Holy of Holies. He doesn't list the temple. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. I'll stop with that one. In chapter 12, these are just the places where this abomination occurs. Chapter 12 and verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we read in the previous verse that there were 1,260. Here he's speaking about until this is set up, is a 30-day difference. And then he goes on to say, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. So it's 1,335 days, 75 days beyond what we read in chapter 8. And he says, blessed is he that waiteth. If you get to the book of Revelation, you will see that there is in the last days of that time before the Lord returns, there is a very significant testing and trying, and this will be the final and major test, I believe, for those people at that time. And overcome, those who can overcome and who are willing to give their life is whom he talks about here. So anyway, here we see the places in the book of Daniel without going into any explanation, because these are extremely deep subjects, that this word is used. And in each case, my point is, in this particular lesson, in each case, we're talking about the Holy of Holies. Now, when is a temple not a temple? Let's go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. First time the word temple is used in the Bible. 1 Samuel 1, and we're going to read 1 through 9. You remember this story, I'm sure. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Ziph, and Epaphrite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts of Shiloh. Well, what was in Shiloh? Let's go back. I'm going to hold my finger here. Go back to Joshua. So now we're going back a few hundred years, I believe. And we can see that the tabernacle was preserved all that time. 18:1 of Joshua. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. and the land was subdued before them. So between Joshua all the way through the times of the judges and up until 1 Samuel and the time of that Eli and has the son and so forth, up until this time, that tabernacle remained at Shiloh. So we're talking about the tabernacle. No, there's no temple mentioned here. This is way before Solomon's time. So it says here, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy or a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. That is, he's speaking of Peninnah, who had children. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so now we're talking about the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept, and she did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Now, is there a temple here? And the answer to that is no. There is a tabernacle, but the same word for temple is used here. So the point I'm considering in my mind that I'm sharing with you is that here we have the Holy of Holies at this particular time, and it is called a temple, but it is not a temple like the structure we find with Solomon. Now, one other point, and I think I have enough time to make this point, is that up until, we need to read a little bit further here. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, let's read the first three verses of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no wide open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the ear lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. So we're still talking about the temple, which is the tabernacle, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And so you know that the Lord called on Samuel three times. And Samuel went into Eli and said, hey, did you call me? And he says, no, go back to sleep. Paraphrasing here, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all these verses. So he comes the third time in verse 8 and in verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, and for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And in the next verse, the Lord stood there and called him another time as he had before. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. So here we have, and I'm not reading the whole passage about what he tells Samuel, but God Almighty in some form here spoke to Samuel, who was a young child, in the Holy of Holies. That is to say, this was part of the tabernacle. I don't think Samuel was in the Holy of Holies, but this was the place where the Lord would speak to the nation of Israel once a year in the Holy of Holies through the high priest. And here Samuel received that message, and it was in spite of the fact, or I should say, I won't use the word spite, but it had a lot to do with the fact that Eli and his sons and what they were doing to the tabernacle and what they were doing was so wrong that the Lord now is going to call someone out, and that's going to be Samuel. So we look at the last verse here. And we read in verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And if you read the next few verses, look to the next verse 1 of chapter 4, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. Now you read the whole chapter. I'll just paraphrase what's here. They scared the Philistines, and they said, "Hey, let's go get somebody go get the ark and bring it up from Shiloh and bring it to here." And they did that. And when it was in their midst, they had all this confidence and so forth that they could fight these Philistines, and it scared the Philistines. And so they said, "Whoa, we're going to get our hands on that ark," and they did. And from this point on, the Philistines held the Ark of the Covenant. So between this period of time and approximately, I'm going to say, is it 120 years? Until the time of David, Israel did not have the Ark. So when we get over to chapter 6, let me see if this is right. I'm not going to read all this, but what I'll tell you here is what happened is that verse 6:1, and the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. This is still over 100 years later when David's on the scene. And they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty, but in the wise. Well, I'm not going to read all these verses, but what we find out is that David gets a group together and they go and they take the ark from the people. And it says in chapter 6, and is it chapter 6 or is it 7? Let's look at verse 16 and 17. That's not it. Okay, so I'll tell you what it says. What I'm looking for is that David took the ark and brought it in. Remember the story. They were carrying the ark, and one guy by the name of Uzzah, the oxen tripped or something, and the ark started to fall, and he reached out and grabbed it, and the Lord put him to death for that, because he was helping the hand of the Lord, and it was very precious. I mean, the words concerning the Ark of the Covenant were very serious words that the Lord gave him instructions about, and what it represented. And so it scared David, and so David went and took the ark over to someone's house. And after that period of time, after 3 months, and that person who kept it for 3 months, the Lord prospered him much. And so David said, okay, it's time to take this ark. And David builds a tabernacle. I'm going to read it in 1 Chronicles 6:15, because all of a sudden I don't see it here in where I'm at. This is the Chronicles account. 1 Chronicles 15. And I can see some of this is going to be continued next week. Verse 1 of chapter 15, and David made him houses in the city of David. And we go down to, So I apologize here. I didn't write. I went through so many verses this last week that, and then I come to this point. I didn't write it down. I'll show you the verse that talked about the fact that verse 15:1. There it is. Thank you for posting it, and I read right over it. David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent or a tabernacle. So David set up the tabernacle in Judah, in Jerusalem, and put the Ark of the Covenant in. So after all these years, this is what we have. So there is a tabernacle of David. So literally, there is a tabernacle of David. So when we read Acts chapter 15, and verse 15 again, we read, after this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now, I'm not saying this is literally what is being spoken of here. That is, there's probably some figurative language here that goes beyond what we're reading there in Chronicles. But it is represented here. that this is something. But so one of the points that comes to my mind is that the Holy of Holies is not merely in a temple, but the Holy of Holies began in a tabernacle. And my thought is, I'm just throwing this out as a thought, definitely not a, if you don't believe this, then you're going to be excommunicated from any of my Bible studies. What I'm saying here is that it comes to my mind that in that day, there will be a day that this one, this being, this beast that we've read about, an abomination, comes and sits in the holy place. My question is that going to be in a temple, or is that going to be a tabernacle? The thought of building a temple and whatever is certainly possible, but it'll be extremely obvious that those things are beginning to happen, which is fine. And either way, you know, whatever God wants to do, that's what he wants to do. But what I think we're going to do now is I'm going to stop. Next week we will pick it up and I'm going to try to get out of chapter 24, but we're going to look at the four or five occurrences of the tabernacle of David. It's prophesied a couple of times, and not only in Amos 9, where he speaks of it here, but he also speaks of it in Isaiah. So I'm going to stop there, and we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, not my words. We ask your protection over your words, and ask that you let us hear the things that you want us to hear. And to hear the truth. And we thank you that we have this opportunity to even speak your word. Thank you for this group of believers and for what we share in Christ. And these things we thank you. In the name of our Lord Christ Jesus, amen.